Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. Today is Thursday, March 7th, and this is episode 26. I'm your host, as always, Michael Schoerlein. So we haven't spoken in a little while. A couple of things happened here. Namely, one former captain making his return. Couple of ugly Islanders losses. A pretty good win. I guess you can call it a good win over the Senators the other night. It was a good period sandwiched between a couple of terrible ones. Some media coverage that maybe we could have done without. I'm looking at you, News 12 Long Island. Kind of embarrassing situation there. We also had a couple of injuries. The flu is going rampant through the room. Casey Cizikas missed a couple of games a couple of games over the last couple of days. And Matt Martin has an upper body injury. We saw Robin Lehner go down, unfortunately. The game tying goal by the Senators the other night, you had Brock Nelson ride his man, Tkachuk, into the net and barrel over Robin Lehner. The puck pops free and they score. It was reviewed. No penalty on the play. The goal was allowed and the rest was history. We obviously won that game in a shootout, fortunately for the Islanders. Robin Lehner is also day-to-day with an upper body injury. I believe Barry Trotz said him and Cal Clutterbuck, who himself has an upper body injury, taking that puck off the side of his head against the Flyers, on the bench, no less, are both day-to-day, but not today. So we saw Gibson called up on an emergency basis from Bridgeport to serve as the backup to Grice tonight for another match against the Ottawa Senators. So obviously the concern there is how long will Robin Lehner be out? I'm hoping that it's not going to be too long given the nature of the recall for Gibson. It was an emergency basis, which generally means it's a short-term thing. So with a couple of days rest in between the start the other night for Robin Lehner against Ottawa, he's obviously not going to be traveling with the team tonight or today because they're probably already there. So it'll give him multiple days rest until the Islanders play Philadelphia again on Saturday and then Columbus, I believe, on Monday. So we'll obviously await further word there. I'm hoping that it's not anything crazy or too serious because that would just be devastating this time of year. Obviously, the elephant in the room, and I want to get this over quick, is going to be the return of John Tavares to Nassau Coliseum on Thursday last week. That was quite a spectacle to behold. I wish that I could have made it to the Coliseum to take that game in personally. There's been numerous games over the years that I marked down on the calendar as, you know, things I didn't want to miss. And this was up there. Just unfortunately, I couldn't work it out to be able to get there and enjoy it in person. But I got to listen to everybody recount their experiences. And I got to enjoy the game myself locally with a bunch of friends. I had a great time with you guys, JR, Tim, and Dan. Hopefully we can do it again a couple times here before the end of the season. And we enjoyed the clubhouse. Hopefully we can make a bigger event, you know, for some other fans here moving forward to enjoy it all together and make some noise, especially going into the playoffs as well. that said, the chance, amazing. You know, a couple of things thrown on the ice, you know, that's going to happen. I'm not really a big fan of throwing stuff, but to make your voices heard after 7 months of just pain and dwelling on John Tavares leaving, just kudos to all you guys for making that just an amazing thing. The just unbelievable, the chance. And when Anders scored, you know, he's our captain. That was just fantastic. Barzy's better. We don't need you. What's your bedtime? Who's your daddy? Barry Trotz, just on and on and on. Never ceases to amaze me the creativity of this fan base. And collectively, when it's a hive mind like that, the way that things go, it's just awesome, you know. And the way that the Canadian media, or the Toronto-based media, I should say, responded to this is kind of funny as well. You know, I know it's been discussed on a couple of other podcasts already this week, so I don't really want to go too crazy speaking about it. I know you guys have been asking for my opinions on some stuff here as the week has progressed since the game last week. But really, you're going to tell us how to respond to something like this? You're going to compare it to Mark Messier leaving the Oilers? Come on now. You're going to compare it to Mats Sundin leaving Toronto? Get out of here. Really? There has been not one similar event that has transpired in the NHL of a star player leaving this his franchise that drafted him to go somewhere else in free agency, especially in the way that this transpired. And again, don't tell us how to feel, okay? Jeez. Seriously, though, we're coming into an age where we're going to see strange stuff like this happen, and you know? And I don't fault John Tavares for leaving. I mean, I do, but it is a business, you know? And everyone has the right to be upset about that in the way that he strung the team along, or seemingly strung the team along. I get it. I'm upset about that too. But you can't, as the media, you guys, you know, and Dominic from Lighthouse Hockey had an awesome article about this. You can't, on one hand, benefit off of the rabid fans in sports, and then on the other, lambast them about how they react to certain situations. You guys are the ones in the media who essentially fire up a fan base by writing a certain way or covering a team a certain way. So when you go and you cover an event like this in free agency and make it this crazy situation, and then you're going to tell a fan base that they're reacting the wrong way, I don't really see how that is, you know, something that you should be able to do. Granted, everybody can say whatever the heck they want. I understand that. But don't tell me how to feel, please. I mean, this podcast, like I've said on numerous occasions, is named so aptly after John Tavares' letter to fans, the Isles faithful. So there's that. You obviously know how I feel. But again, if the situation would have been different, and I understand you could blame management to a certain extent for not moving him regardless of his feelings, which we're going to get into in a minute as well. The city of Toronto, come on now. You're a great, beautiful city with fantastically friendly people. Jeez, I don't even know if I would really want to talk about it. But John Tavares, you could see he was affected by what fans were doing. I don't really know if he expected it to be all rainbows and butterflies and puppies. But I think he forgot that he played in New York for 9 years. Speaking of New York, Sean Avery, I'm sure you saw that little video as well, or listened to Spittin' Chicklets, where Sean Avery was on and he went toe-to-toe with Islander fan Frankie Borelli there. And, you know, Whitney and the boys kind of made Islander fans look dumb there. But obviously Sean Avery doesn't like the New York Islanders franchise, the arenas or fans. So I don't really take what he says really worth anything. I mean, he was a former pro. He's not a very well-liked person and has made some questionable life decisions. We're not going to get into that. I'm not going to take that road. But again, don't tell a fan base how to react or that we owe him anything. Yeah, he is a great guy, and I wrote this in an article. He is a great guy off the ice. He really is. He's done a lot of good things for charity, for hospitals, even for the Islanders organization. But you know what? When you do someone, or when, not when you do someone dirty, but when you do a franchise dirty the way that he did, and then you have to sit for 7 months before this player comes back, you're not going to expect something like that. You're not going to expect a player to be booed every single time he comes back or every time fans see him play in another arena. I mean, the fans in San Jose booed John Tavares for not picking that organization during the All-Star game. So why would we, as fans of who was supposed to be our savior, and we referred to him as the savior, not be upset? I'm sorry, but I just don't agree. So now let's talk enough about that, because I'm tired of talking about it. We already know what's going to happen on April 1st when Toronto comes back to the Coliseum. It might be a little more subdued, but the chants are going to be there, and the Islanders faithful, the Isles faithful, you guys, the amazing people that listen to this podcast and the other podcasts and follow the team religiously on Twitter and on social media, all over the internet, you guys are going to just do great things, and it's fun. It's a good thing to be about, and you guys had the Coliseum rocking, and thank you for that. It didn't go unnoticed by the national media, the ones that were supportive, you know, and there was a lot of support there. But this is now about winning some hockey games. It's about going out there, facing adversity of some injuries and some terrible play here as of late. And it's about making the playoffs and doing some damage, we hope, as Barry Trotz leads us to the promised land. May not be this season, but at least we'll gain, or they'll gain, because I did that stupid thing I normally do, valuable experience here moving forward. So the huge win over Toronto, 6-1, we had multiple players with points, almost every single forward, I believe, 13 or 14 forwards with points in that game. You had pretty much everybody score, shorthanded goals, just good stuff, good defensive play, great goaltending. A couple of lucky bounces, obviously, with the disallowed goal. There was a little bit of scrapping. Matt Barzal, during the tribute video, not tapping his stick, didn't go unnoticed by this podcaster, as well as some others. And then you had the game against the Capitals on Friday. Not a great game, not terrible. Couple of strange bounces in that game as well. I mean, the Islanders held a 1-0 lead into the third period. Basically, they scored two of the Capitals' goals themselves. But what can you do? That's the way that the puck bounces sometimes. Defensively, it looked okay, I guess you should say. We didn't see Andrew Ladd in that game. He was rested. We had Tommy Kunackle score the first goal of the game on that strange play that appeared to be offsides. But Leo Komarov exited the zone after the puck crossed the line, but prior to Tommy Kunackle crossing the line. So he allowed Komarov to come out of the zone smartly. And then just the way the play transpired was like in slow motion. He kind of went in half speed. And I think, you know, you had a shocked goaltender almost not making a save for some strange reason because of the play. Regardless, it was a great shot. Islanders go up 1-0. The Islanders power play obviously continues to be an issue. They were like 0 for the century over the last couple of games, especially in that Capitals game. They give the Capitals a couple of chances late, obviously, because of the referees deciding to find their whistles late in the game, call the Islanders for some penalties. Capitals capitalize. I mean, again, you had a bunch of weird bounces and they come away behind. Let us not forget about Josh Bailey's goal, the elite winger. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I really do believe that he's an elite winger, much to the chagrin of some of my listeners. But his own goal, Brock Nelson going back into the zone. Bailey goes to pass it back to him, and he had vacated the zone, and there the puck goes down into the Islanders' defensive end, into the vacated net. What are you going to do? It happens. Insult to injury. And then the game against the Flyers over the weekend on Sunday was no better. Islanders outplayed them for large stretches of that game. And the Flyers basically capitalized on the only scoring chances that they got. Robin Leonard looked shaky, but the Islanders, a mixed bag of lines there jumbled up at the end, and Adam Pellick winds up scoring late in the game. They had a couple of other good looks. Just one of those games, again, that can't generate offense. They lost those games only scoring one goal. And you look back over the course of the season, and the games that the Islanders have not been able to score are the ones where they haven't really been able to bring much in general, especially on the offensive side of the game. So you got this stretch of games here is so important. We played, like I mentioned earlier, the Senators the other night. We won 5-4 in the shootout. We play the Senators again tonight. We play the Flyers again on Saturday. And then if I'm missing a game, we also play Monday, I believe, against Columbus, which is obviously another playoff implication game there. So this is the time where you're going to see Barry Trotz make the most of this roster. You're going to see the type of coach that he is. So it's Trotz time, really, right now. And the Islanders have called up Michael Dal Colle and Josh Hosang. And Michael Dal Colle got into the game the other night against the Senators, and he looked great. Barry Trotz loves his game. He said that in the post game. He had that ridiculous pass over to Devon Taves, who made an equally ridiculous play. The puck was elevated. He gloves it down and in one motion shoots the puck far side. Just awesome, awesome goal from a rookie defenseman, no less. You see that gifted offensive, you know, play in stride with speed. Just great. I wish he could teach some of the Islanders forwards that. But we had the goal scoring there. We supported Robin Leonard with the run support until he went down with injury. Thomas Greiss came in, looked great for the final couple of minutes of overtime. Well, through overtime and the shootout. And you hope that they learn from their mistakes as they go into tonight, you know, with a questionable lineup. I think Matt Martin skated today. Cizikas skated today. Clutterbuck, obviously, we mentioned, was out. Leonard is out. So hopefully Dal Colle draws in. He has been a breath of fresh air for this lineup, as has Josh Hosang at times, but it doesn't look like Hosang's going to make it into the lineup. He was sent back down on paper to Bridgeport and recalled on an emergency basis again. Just for paperwork reasons, really. I believe I saw Michael Fornabio, the beat writer for Bridgeport, say, you know, it's done like that because it's an emergency basis. And as long as a player is down, they can justify, you know, that player being up there. So you have to kind of do it on a day-by-day basis sometimes. But, you know, how great would it be to see these kids get back into the lineup, because they brought that offensive ability and increased scoring chances all over the place, really. So Dal Colle hopefully will see, do some more stuff, get on the score sheet, I want to see a couple more goals out of him. I want to see some goals out of Ladd. I want to see, you know, Nelson start to chip it in. I want to see Lee start to pick it up. Eberle has really been kind of quiet lately. I really would like to see him do a little bit more. And then you've got Beauvillier. Obviously, he's chipped in with a few goals over the last couple of games. He's really kind of picking it up. He's a very streaky player. And the elephant in the room again, in Matt Barzal. He's been doing okay things. I think he's been trying a little too hard to be a little too fancy at times with the puck. He's got to keep it a little more simple. Get back to what made him successful the end of last year and, you know, the first couple of weeks of this season, or not even really the first couple of weeks, but maybe like the second month in. When he went on that ridiculous stretch of scoring, especially that hat trick in Toronto. Come on now. Wake up, Matt. Wake up. So, you know, ultimately, the Islanders control their own destiny. They have must-win games. I believe I saw something about 96 or 97 points as being the number to make the playoffs. So it's really in their hands. It's a matter of getting the goaltending. It's a matter of getting the defense that they've been getting and being able to score more than one goal a game. I mean, it's really simple in that regard. But just been a crazy week. It really has. Emotions running high, a little bit of stress. The mayor of Toronto giving John Tavares a Tavares T.O. day. Come on. And then you have Toronto being the media and PR people up there, basically a collective hug for John Tavares because we booed him. That's what you guys did as fans. You rattled an entire organization and fan base to the point where they had to coddle him. You know, and all John had to do if he would have stayed here was just do the things that he continued to do on Long Island, and he probably would have got his jersey retired. But no, you want to go up there? It's been said on numerous podcasts. I know Mike Carver said it. I know the boys on Isles Buzz said it, and Isles Anxiety as well. All you had to do, John, was stay, play your game, and you would have just been revered here for your entire career and forever. Look at the Islander greats that came before you. They're still, some of them played for other organizations. Some of them played for the Rangers. Some of them coached the Rangers and then came back, Butchie. But you know what? They're still Islander greats. We still love them. They're still revered. They're still talked about like the glory days were yesterday. So yeah, we will boo you. We may not seem like we respect you. We respect you as a player and as a person. But now as a former Islander, sorry. It's over for us. We're done. It's not you. It's me. Anyway. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I know I referenced the power play before. I just did a little research real quick to give you some of the stats here because I wasn't really 100% positive on everything. But over the last 15 games, the Islanders have had 39 power plays. In that time, they've scored 6 power play goals. So we'll shorten it a little bit and we'll go 10 games. They've had 21 power play opportunities with only 3 power play goals. Now you do the math there. That's not good enough. That's like one goal every 6.5 chances. That's just horrible. They got to click a little bit more regularly on the power play, especially, you know, when you're given 4 or 5 opportunities a game most nights, or not most nights, but some nights. And once the playoff starts, those power play goals are going to be super important. The good news is they were shorthanded 28 times and they've only allowed 5 power play goals against. So there's that. in that same time period, they've scored one shorthanded goal of their own. So, you know, power, the special teams half doing their job, but maybe with the addition of Dal Cole and potentially Josh Hosang, you know, we could do a little bit more damage there, or at least swap up the power play units and get Pulak and Taves on the first unit. Still seems like Letty is not shooting when he should. I know he should have been almost credited with a power play goal the other night because they did score one off of one of his shots as the power play was expiring. So, I mean, there is that. Boychuk still firing those rockets. I'm not going to really say anything bad about Boychuk because he's been a warrior here the last couple weeks again, firing those cannons, just looking real good. Letty as well. I mean, he has a couple of hiccups here and there. That Toronto game, he basically falls down after he, you know, tries to turn around to break up a play going the opposite way and trips. And then Toronto scores and they wind up, you know, being offsides. The Islanders challenged and won, and they took the goal back, which would have been a huge momentum shift in the game. Toronto would have tied the game up 2-2, but instead, nope. Islanders stay up 2-1, reel off a couple more goals for the 6-1 final. So you've got opportunity there as well to kind of mix things up. And like I said earlier, this is really how we're going to see Trotz, you know, come into the spotlight a little bit more when there is a little bit of adversity and there's some things that need to be cleaned up. We're going to see how that transpires and how he moves a couple of players around and manages the injuries and the flu that's going through the room. So we'll see what happens tonight against the Senators. Hopefully it's a little more clean of an effort, and we'll talk about it here over the weekend. Hopefully this will be the last time you have to listen to my voice solo. Maybe JP will be joining me for a little bit of recap of the games coming up. I also have Griffin Schroeder set to come on. He is a guy who makes fantastic YouTube videos. He had that one about the Trotz effect a couple weeks back that I had posted. We've been trying to hook up to get him on to talk a little hockey. I've also got a couple of other guests lined up here. I don't want to get too much ahead of myself like I have in the past here. I know Mark Parrish and I have still been trying to get back together here and recap what we've seen happen with the Islanders here over the last couple months since we've spoke. So I'm pretty excited about that. Mark, if you're listening, let's go, man. Let's get it done. Other than that, I mean, that's pretty much going to wrap it up for episode 26. Please follow us on Twitter at Faithful Isles, at Isles Blogger. You could follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Instagram. We're on all of the podcast platforms that you could potentially ever need or want. Google, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. We're on Spreaker, Podbean, all sorts of crazy different things. Android. I know someone asked me the other day if we were on Android, and I sent him the link. So if you're not subscribing, please do. Please give us a like and a review on iTunes. If you're not following us on YouTube, head over to the YouTube channel. It's linked in the description on the website, and it'll also be live up there as soon as I post up. So I will post a link on Twitter if you would like to as well. So please subscribe there. And we will see you again this weekend for a little more Islanders talk. So thanks for listening. This has been episode 26. Let's go, Islanders.